All right, we're back for episode 7. How are you doing?
Always good. Looking forward to this one.
Yeah, this one's gonna be a good one today. A quick recap of episode 6. So we talked about building a content strategy that converts, how you can attract, engage, and guide your audience with purpose. We broke down the importance of creating content that aligns with each stage of the buyer's journey, the types of content that build trust and authority, and how consistency across platforms drives real results. If you want your content to do more than just exist, if you want it to move people to take action, then episode 6 is a must listen. Today, we're going to be focusing on why funnels might be holding your brand back and why the flywheel is the future of marketing and business growth. So what we'll cover today is the limitations of traditional funnel, how the flywheel model works, and why customer experience and momentum matter more than ever.
So of course, the one of the biggest reasons that the traditional funnel doesn't work is it's kind of based on this linear movement where a customer comes aware, has interest, makes a decision, goes to a purchase, and then that's it. That's it, kind of done. And really, if you look at a lot of the different things that are done online, probably more so way back in the day, maybe 10 years ago, that's probably how it was, right? That's how business was conducted. And especially when email marketing things came into play as well, and people were getting downloads, they would see something online. And this actually still happens today, even with e-commerce businesses, especially the ones that don't use something like Klaviyo or another platform to continually nurture them after they've purchased, as they go to the website, they buy the product, they purchase it, and then that's it. That's it, kind of done. And that's just not the way that business functions or operates nowadays. So basically, the way the linear funnel works is once a person buys, they drop off the end of the funnel once they've purchased. There's no built-in focus or retention of or royalty or referrals. Much different from the way a lot of businesses work nowadays. Funnels treat marketing sales a bit separately. They're not really integrated either, which is certainly from a business to business point of view, is just not the way that buyers buy either nowadays. There needs to be an integrated approach, and funnels usually end with the sale. So there's generally no real growth begins after the sale with the funnel. And that's just not the way to do things.
Yeah. I think the marketing and sales being separate is a huge one because, your marketing is meant to bring the clients who don't know who you are or know who you are and, take that step, and the sales is where, it gets sold.
Yeah,
And
100.
if they're not integrated or they're not on the same goals, they're not on the same wavelength, then that's where everything just goes wrong. And we've seen that with one of our clients, up in Mackay that we helped when everything was disorganized, they weren't making as much sales. When everything was seamless and integrated, then they started selling like crazy.
Well, that's right. I mean, the whole point of marketing is to bring people to the business. At the end of the day, as far as from a customer's point of view, the customer shouldn't really be seeing, different departments. What they should be seeing is one seamless
One
customer
business.
journey. And this is why we offer sales enablement services, which integrate with like inbound marketing and inbound sales, which is one cohesive strategy, if you like. And it's really important to make sure that, when marketing's handing off to sales and things, that the both of them are completely and utterly aligned with one another, so that it doesn't affect that buyer's journey. And we've actually written a couple of articles about this, and using the term smarketing, which is about sales and marketing being one integrated approach to driving real growth.
Well, marketing shouldn't just stop when someone becomes a customer either. That's when it should really evolve and deepen, and you create that community.
Yeah, 100%. And again, this is why the flywheel model, which was created by HubSpot, works better, right? Because the flywheel, HubSpot created the flywheel model so that businesses would focus on the customer, right? It wasn't about focusing on the sales, but focusing on the customer, and the customer as the main focus here. So it replaces the flywheel model, which ends at the sale, with us, and the flywheel itself has got like a circular model where momentum builds as you attract, engage, and delight customers, and then in turn they help grow the business through referrals and loyalty. Now, there's three main stages to the flywheel. The first one's attract, and that basically draws in the right people with valuable content and helpful interactions. This is where content marketing, in terms of the last episode, works with the flywheel. Tools that businesses can use for the attract stage is SEO, blogs, social media, and ads. The next stage for that is then engaging with the client. So you've attracted your prospects. So you've by then by before you even get to the attract point, right? You've already thrashed out your ICP or your buyer persona. You know who it is you're targeting. Then you start creating good, valuable EEAT content, right? Which helps answer questions that your prospects have. It helps educate them about the solutions that you provide. Then there's the engagement part. This is when they already know they've got a problem. They know that you've got a solution, so they then start to engage with you with the with your business. And from there, you build relationship that solves problems to convert visitors into leads and customers. And you do that with tools like email marketing, lead nurturing, chatbots, customer relationship management systems. And there needs to be a cohesive system in place for this to work almost automatically, as you sleep, as I might say. Because this, although it takes a bit of time to set up, once it starts to run, it should automatically run like a well-oiled machine. The third stage of the flywheel is the delight section, and that's basically by providing a great experience so that customers become promoters of the brand, all right? They become loyal, they provide testimonials. When, and we've seen this ourselves, right, when we're doing client work as well, that when they're doing ads on Facebook or LinkedIn, that their customers jump on and actually leave a testimonial in the comment section. That is fantastic. That's exactly what that's all about. And the tools that businesses can use there include things like customer support, surveys, net promoter score, building a community, and knowledge bases. So how the flywheel works is instead of pushing customers through a one-way funnel, which is the funnel we were just talking about previously, you build a momentum by investing in great customer experiences. Happy customers fuel the flywheel with their testimonials and things like that as well. You know, they leave reviews, they refer others, and they keep buying your services and products. And then friction within your business slows down, like bad support, confusion, user experience, and misaligned messaging, because you've already built out your ICP, right? You know what your messaging is, you know who you're trying to target. Now, because modern businesses growth depends on customer happiness, which it has nowadays, right? Most businesses, in fact, a lot of businesses don't even leave a good review unless they're prompted to do so. But in most cases, if there's an issue, they'll be straight onto Google or, you know, G2 or Clutch or whatever it is that you use the review system, and they'll leave a bad review. So it's really important to make sure that you're providing the best customer experiences. It's not just about closing deals. The flywheel itself helps align marketing and sales and service to create a smoother, more sustainable growth engine. And that's what this is all about. And there's other services you can mix in there, and other strategies, methodologies, such as demand generation and that kind of stuff. But it all merges into that whole flywheel, and that gives you the setup for everything to work cohesively.
I've lost where you are.
So I've basically just introduced the flywheel and how that actually works, and why businesses should use it for, long-term growth nowadays,
So what bit are you up to? I'll just cut this bit out.
So
Are you up to four?
according to HubSpot, the creators of the flywheel model, companies that prioritize customer delight grow faster and retain more businesses than focused when those are focused only on acquisition. So in other words, if all you're focused on is lead gen, then yeah, it's just not going to work. Yeah. What you need to do is you need to be focusing on customer success, customer happiness, and providing the best customer experience you can for your business, because that's what helps build brand.
And how the flywheel builds momentum is, as you've mentioned already, is every satisfied customer becomes fuel for your flywheel, and the delighted customers create word of mouth, referrals, and repeat business. If you give someone an awesome experience with your business, and somebody comes and asks, "Oh, do you know anybody that does XYZ?" They're automatically going to think, "Yeah, go to this company. I use them. They were amazing." When you see people asking questions on Facebook of, "Does anybody know this?" Then they'll end up commenting, and then you'll just end up seeing a thread of comments with, "Yeah, they were amazing. They were amazing." And especially when you have like ones that are for the city or for your area, that's like you don't know who's seeing that. There's like 20,000 people that might be in that group.
Yeah, 100%, absolutely, and of course, the customer support, marketing, and sales all play a vital role in keeping the flywheel spinning. So as you start to bring in customers, they all go through the same process, and this is the whole thing about strategy, making sure that everything is aligned, because it just makes life so much easier for to grow and see the benefits of that.
Well, the energy you put into serving your customers continues to pay off with the flywheel, unlike where your energy stops at the purchase with the funnel.
100%.
And your customer support, your marketing, and your sales all play vital roles in keeping the flywheel spinning.
Definitely.
So we've got a five-step way that you can build a flywheel for your own business. One is align your teams. So as we mentioned earlier, your sales, your marketing, your service should all work together. And we've mentioned this in other podcasts as well, that everybody has to be on the same goal. They have to be have the same values, the same vision, and be in the same wavelength. And this will your flywheel will just
Yeah, the thing, the problem with this part is a lot of businesses, and I see a lot of this up in North Queensland with some of the clients up here, where that each department is siloed into its own little bit, and when they're in market and they don't touch sales and they don't speak to sales and this kind of thing, and there's always that little bit of animosity between departments and things. That's not how businesses should be run. What should be happening is the business, everyone in the business, although they have a role to play, whether that be market, sales, or service, they're all working as part of the same team. They're all responsible for driving revenue. It's not just about sales getting the sales in. It's not just about marketing getting the MQLs, the market qualified leads in, and then passing them off to sales. It's the same with service as well. Service also plays a vital role in making sure that they're all driving revenue together, not as siloed departments.
Step two is map your customer journey. So your customer journey shouldn't just be a line, where they you find a customer, they make a purchase, and that's it. You should see it as a cycle where, you're taking them from the attracting them to engaging them to delighting them, and then you're continuously doing that.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, your customer journey, not all customers have the same journey, right? Because all customers are at different stages of the buying cycle. And I mean, if you go back maybe every 3 or 4 years ago, there was a statement, and there was some stats out there. I can't quite remember who says it. I think you'll probably find it on our website somewhere, that you needed 12 touch points before a customer would buy from you. So that means that a prospect needs to see your brand messaging 12 times before they even see you as a consideration. Fast forward the 2-3 years up to now, and I'm now seeing it's over 20 odd touch points. And that's because, you know, with advent AI and everything that's happening, people are bombarded nowadays with just so much choice and so much information. So it's absolutely essential that you map out your customer journey so that when your customer comes into whatever buy stage they're at, that they actually are presented with the content for that particular stage to help them along, continually help them along that buyer's journey.
Yeah. Step three is invest in retention. So loyalty programs, onboarding, community building, and post-sales support. Really commit, sorry, really making that community is vital, I think, as well. And we mentioned this in previous podcasts as well, is people feel like they're a part of something bigger than themselves that they can contribute to.
100%. I mean, when I first started in business 22 years ago, right? I started building website, e-commerce websites, and started programming and things. And I was doing content marketing before content marketing was even a thing, right? Or inbound marketing, if you might call it, whereby I was helping people. I was writing code for to that someone could easily install within 2 seconds on their website. I would put up instructions on forums. This is how you install it. And what would happen is because people are inherently lazy, is they would actually reach out to us, pay us £50, as in GBP, Great British Pounds, and then we would actually just drag and drop it over to the website. It was done in a couple of seconds, right? But we still got £50 a piece, and we got a review. So we had thousands of reviews for this. During that same time, we actually started building a community, right? So we built a community around car detailing, and we also built a community around software and e-commerce and things like that. And even back then, 22 years ago, it was massive. I think now with what's happened with COVID and things like that a few years ago, you know, community is actually starting to become big again, where people, you know, see the value in having that niche and that niche kind of community around them. And
Yeah.
we're actually going, in terms of Adonis Media, we'll be creating a community for like-minded, growth-minded customers. Now, if you take, for instance, some of the businesses, even up in North Queensland, right? Say a pool company. Now, most pool companies don't do content marketing, right? They don't do inbound or anything like that. What they do is they pay for a website, they get some of their services up there, some images, and then that's it, right? And then hope for the best, you know. And now because they're all doing that and nobody's doing content, it makes it harder for the customer to actually come to them to buy the products and the services, because there's no differentiation of between pool companies. The only differentiation might be is whose website's the nicest, because they're all saying the same thing. Now, imagine this, right? You're a even a solar company or a pool company, right? And you started a community on your website, or you could even start a community on Facebook or, you know, LinkedIn if it was B2B, for instance. And what you're doing is you, when people are getting in touch with you, irrespective of where they are in the buyer's journey, they visit your website, they see that you've got a community there where you're actually answering questions, you're helping them with their questions almost like directly, immediately, right? When it comes to buying a product, whether that be a 15, 30, 50 grand solar system, or 100 grand fiberglass pool, who do you think the customer's going to go to? And they're going to go to the people that have been providing all the free support or in the community around, helping them make their decisions, or they're going to go to somebody else where they've had no interaction. It's quite clear to me, and it should be clear to the listeners what needs to happen there in terms of investing in retention. Now, you're talking about retention, onboarding, and community building. That some of that stuff can happen before the sale even happens. And in actual fact, in terms of demand generation, which is the service we offer, that's exactly what should be happening anyway. So that when it comes to the point where that customer or that prospect is going to buy product or service, it's you there, it's your business that's at the top of mind.
Step number four is creating advocates. So as we mentioned earlier, ask for reviews, testimonials, referrals. Your customers are your best marketers because they've been through, they've had an experience with you. And if that's positive, then it's social proof to people who are looking for your services that, oh, okay, you know, someone else had a great experience. I want to have that great experience. So I'm going to choose them over somebody who has no reviews.
Yeah, 100%. And it's not just Google reviews here either. You know, we're talking about video reviews. Referrals is a massive thing. I mean, obviously, generally, if someone's being referred to you, that sale should be in the bag, right? It should be in the bag. You should be ready to go with that. Creating advocates and delighting your customers should be the end game. It should be a continual flywheel of progression.
Yeah. And step five is measure momentum. So look at the repeat purchases, your NPS, your lifetime value. Don't just look at the leads and the conversions.
Yeah, and if you're looking at more B2B side, you could include things in there like sales velocity. You could add in customer acquisition cost over and above your net promoter score and things like that as well. Because they're all measurements or certain things that can be measured to see how your business is actually performing.
We have some real world flywheel examples. So we've talked about Apple and I think every single episode, but I think their whole marketing and everything they do is just top notch. And Apple have a seamless ecosystem which keeps their users coming back and recommending. And you can see that when people are buying, you know, the newest Apple Watch, the newest iPhone, the newest MacBook. And there's a lot of people, myself included, that have only ever used Apple products. So when we use another like Samsung or something, I go, holy crap, what is this? and that's due to good products, good marketing, and creating a community.
I think as well, I mean, they've obviously created a good, they create good products that yeah. just work, right? And I mean, I've said this before, but, you know, back in the day, I would be buying the latest Microsoft stuff because that's what it was back then. You know, from a marketing perspective, Apple wasn't as big as what it is nowadays. And, you know, one of my designer friends says to us one time, he says, Derek, once you go, Mac, you will not go back. And I laughed at that and I thought that was funny, but I'll tell you what, it's 100% true. Indeed, you're an Apple person because that's the only products that we've ever purchased. And even when you were at school, when they forced us to buy an Acer or something like that with Microsoft, I was dead against it. I had to get returned within a few months.
Yeah.
And we bought it and bought a MacBook for you.
Yeah, that was horrid. But yeah, we did get the MacBook and that made life so much easier. Another really good example is Spotify. So they have personalized experiences that turn listeners into loyal subscribers. And gosh, I could tell you the debate between Apple and Spotify is crazy. I think people who use Spotify are like cult members. They really do enjoy Spotify. And I think all the features and personalization that it has created that.
Yeah.
And lastly is Canva. So Canva use the free users, which become power users, who bring in more users by sharing designs to other people. Which is a really good one. Canva has taken off in the last couple of years as well.
Yeah, well, the thing about Canva is I think a lot of their stuff now is focused on their API. We'll be integrating Canva into our application as well, just to make it easier for, you know, the marketers and things to add content. And they've also integrated AI into their systems, which is making it even easier for people using Canva. So fair play to them. It's good.
Yeah, I think Canva is really good for those small businesses that, you know, can't afford to use, say, Photoshop or don't really have the creativity to do that kind of stuff. Because Canva provides all those free ones, which is really good.
Awesome.
Do you have any other anything else you want to add?
No, I think what we'll do, we've actually written a, in fact, Chloe, I think it was you that wrote the, well, I know it was you that wrote it, an article of a flywheel versus a funnel. We've actually written a blog article about that, so we can paste put that on the bottom of the podcast when it goes live.
Well, I've got a little challenge for the listeners. I want you to think about your customer journey. Are you building a funnel or are you feeling a flywheel? And if you need help, creating that flywheel and making your customer experience more integrated and seamless, then give us a call. We're more than happy to help you out and have a look at everything you're doing. Next episode, we're going to be diving into customer retention and how you can keep customers coming back, increase your lifetime value, and build a brand loyalty that lasts.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks, guys.
See ya.
Bye.